It is the Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Quick change of plans. I'm glad Heath pointed it out on the U of I Line Link text line. Then I got the update from my MLB.com app. The Cardinals game has been postponed for today.
Don't you love it how that stuff seems to happen right after you say it?
Yeah, true.
Something comes to mind and then something pops up and just screws your whole thing over.
Well, I'm glad we didn't say goodbye at 4:45. And then there was no Cardinals game to stream. But so instead, we'll have a day-night doubleheader tomorrow in Detroit. So we will be off the air tomorrow afternoon. But we're with you all the way through 5 today. So that is your update. As far as the Cardinals go, the Cardinals won 2 of 3 in New York over the weekend. Weren't able to complete the sweep. They lost kind of a crushing one yesterday. Gave up a walk-off home run to Mark Vientos. And
old friend with the game-tying single with two strikes.
Harrison Bader.
Man. Gotta love how that happens.
That was in what, the 11th? 10th or 11th? That one went late. And, Liberatore ends up giving it up. Yeah, Bader had some good moments with the Cardinals. Never a consistent enough hitter with the average goes. Great center fielder. I know with our offense being, or I should say with our outfield being very makeshift right now, I definitely take Harrison Bader back. But, it would have been great to have an emphatic shot in the arm for a team that's still below 500 and has seemingly been in last place in the Central for a year entirely. But, yeah, I'll take 2 of 3 from the Mets, who
back-to-back series.
Yeah, true. Good call. Beating the D-backs and then the Mets. The Mets had gotten hot after a terrible start.
Guess who they see next? The Chicago Cubs.
Oh, yeah. I was just trying to think. I was going to ask you who
Cubs are in New York next. For 4 this week.
All right.
Interesting. They didn't play on Saturday this weekend. They just decided not to play a game. That's at least how I remember
it. Oh, is it? Is that like 15-0?
No, I don't think they played. At least I checked and I didn't see them have a game. So that's
interesting.
Too bad.
Yeah. I don't know. Did they lose last night?
They did.
Okay.
Another crusher.
Lost
although
2 of 3 to
they
Boston?
It was kind of a frustrating yet kind of exciting game on Sunday Night Baseball last night. They went down 4-0 on like some really cheap. Their first run came on an error. And then it was like a really stupid error. And then I think it was like a wild pitch or something dumb scored the first run. And then the second run came on a ground ball that hit third base. It was hit like 50 miles an hour, hits third base for an RBI single. The Red Sox are up 4-0 at that point. Mike Tauchman, it's a game-tying homer in the 7th inning to tie it at 4. And then Cubs lose on a little blooper into the outfield. Ian Happ's playing in the freaking warning track with nobody out. I don't even know what's going on there. But Tyler O'Neill bloops one in there to beat the Cubs.
Tyler O'Neill.
He had a huge weekend. He is dominating at the plate.
He hit a couple more bombs.
He hit one
two
Friday
homers,
night,
right?
Hit two homers. Hit one Friday night, hit one Saturday. And I think he has 9 or 10 now this year.
Yeah. Mm. That stinks.
Yeah.
That stinks bad. Jeez. I think he had what? I mean, I don't know how many games he played last year. He may have had 8 home runs all last year with the Cardinals.
I said it before when you were talking about Tyler O'Neill earlier. This happens to every single team where it's just you have a guy who you're really frustrated about. It's time. Mm-hmm. We can't deal with this guy anymore. Mm-hmm. And then he gets a change of scenery and he's a stud again. It happens so often to so many teams. It's almost guaranteed. If you finally give up on a guy after a long time, after he struggles for 2 or 3 years in a row, and then he signs with a new team, you got to expect that he'll be like an all-star candidate. And it's just, it happens all the time.
That's fair. Yeah, 9 home runs last year in 72 games. Yet another injury-plagued season for Tyler O'Neill. Of course, got MVP votes back in 2021, 34 home runs, hit .286. But then 96 games the following year, hit .228. 72 games in 2023, hit .231, and then they ultimately get rid of him. He's currently leading the American League in on-base percentage, slugging, and OPS, and he has 9 home runs. Oh, and he's hitting .329.
Yeah. I got to see him in action this weekend. It wasn't fun when he stepped to the plate. Although the walk-off last night was ridiculous. It was just a blooper put in the perfect spot.
It's unfortunate. Speaking of which, the Brewers don't have a great weekend. They matched up with a mashing New York Yankees squad who put up some huge numbers offensively. They lost 2 out of 3, but they didn't lose any ground, I don't believe, in the NL Central. Still a half game up on the Cubs. They're 17-10, Cubs 17-11. Reds are sitting there at 15-13. They're 2.5 back. The Pirates are flirting with, hey, maybe we'll take last place from you, Cardinals, if you win enough games. They're 14-15. They're 4 games out. Cardinals are 4.5 out at 13-15. So,
Pittsburgh Pirates, the April 10th champions of the league every year.
That Jared Jones dude looks pretty good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they always get off to the hot start and it never lasts. Are you buying the Reds?
Kinda. I think they're going to be solid.
Awesome.
I think they're going to be solid. I just don't think they have the pitching to be like an NL Central champ. But, yeah, I mean, they've got those young hitters are really good. They don't even have who's hurt right now. It's is it McLean who's out?
Yeah, I think you're right. Because Steer's been pretty decent, I think.
Yep. And, I don't know if they've got enough pitching there.
I'm with you.
And, I think they'll be pretty pesky, though. They kind of like they were last year. I don't know. NL Central-wise, I still feel pretty good about the Cubs winning the division. I mean, 17-11 start with how injured they are and the fact that now you're going to get Bellinger back, you're going to get Suzuki back, you're going to get Steele back. I would imagine they're going to be pretty active around the trade deadline, adding to this terrible bullpen. I feel pretty solid. Like, if I had to, plant my flag into one team in the NL Central, and I know I'm biased as a Cubs fan, but I truly believe, I would feel best about picking the Cubs right now.
I'm with you on that. Even though Freddie Peralta's been the best pitcher in the division.
I'm still skeptical about the Brewers, which I probably shouldn't be.
No, I mean, I don't know that they have enough. Like, I know Colin Ray's been good for them. They've gotten enough pitching. Their lineup is not anything that scares you, even though they've put up almost as many runs as the Cubs. And the Cubs are like one of the highest scoring offenses, at least in the NL, if not in baseball. They've generated 144 and the Brewers are 142. Yelich has been hurt. I don't know how long he's out. Is he going to be back relatively soon? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it wasn't super long term. It was kind of like maybe a month, kind of like Suzuki.
Yeah. So I'm with you on the Cubs. I think that especially if full strength when they get Steele back,
that's the big one too, is they've had to just patch together a starting rotation the entire year so far, and to get your ace back, assuming that this injury hasn't thrown him off too much and he can pitch like he did last year, that's the huge one. Obviously getting two middle of the order bats back in Bellinger and Suzuki will help quite a bit too, but Justin Steele coming back will be massive, because all of a sudden you don't have to patch together and have your bullpen cover 7 innings every 5 days, and you can actually move Ben Brown to the bullpen, where I think he can really help the late innings where the Cubs have struggled. And
Wesneski be a bullpen arm then too, or is he gonna go back to AAA?
Although the only problem is now, of course, they put Jordan Wicks on the injured list on Sunday with a forearm injury, just another injury. 9th guy to hit the IL since the season started for the Cubs. So I guess they are going to need somebody. But they'll have a solid 4 then at that point, with Steele, with Tyone, with Imanaga, and with Assad. And then that 5th spot can kind of be kind of an ongoing competition.
How much do you love Imanaga right now?
I love the guy, man. He shoved again on Friday night. He was so good. There's going to be a period where, the league adjusts to him a little bit, especially if he sees a division team a couple times. But he's just fun. He's in command out there. He's funny. He's really energetic out there on the mound. He's showing you how he feels, and his stuff plays. Like that fastball, when he commands that up, he up in the zone, it's really tough to get to, and he's got a splitter and a slider. He's fun.
It seems like all of those the World Baseball Classic Japan guys have splitters. All of them got splitters.
Oh, absolutely.
It's so filthy.
His splitter's not quite the forkball that Kodai Senga's is,
right?
Who I think the Cubs are going to see this week, of course.
Oh, is he back off the IL now?
Oh, he might not be yet. I didn't realize he was hurt.
Yeah.
but he's nasty. And Yamamoto's got it. Yep, Yamamoto's curveball is his best pitch, but I think he's got a splitter too.
Yeah, there's a lot of talent over there in Japan on the pitching side, obviously. Wade says that the Cardinals manager is destroying the Cardinals team. Yeah.
Has he been that bad, though?
I don't know.
Or is it just no one can hit?
We can't hit.
Like the bullpen deployment's been great for the Cardinals so far. Has
our bullpen's good. Our bullpen's been good. Yes. I mean, I'm all for getting mad at Ollie Marmol at any given time, for sure. Hey, loyal listener Lante says Cards get Flaherty tomorrow. Oh boy,
7 shutout.
No. Well, maybe. He's had good strikeout numbers this year. I know his ERA is kind of in the mid-4s, so he hasn't been like shut down by any means, but he's had a couple of high strikeout games. Struck out 10 against the Twins 2 starts ago. Last start was against the Rays. 4 earned in 5 innings, 6 Ks. I don't know. If there's see, it's funny. And yes, this is just totally holding a grudge. And yes, some of it's part of the personality. And no, I'm not talking about any of his beliefs or stances or anything. I just think he's kind of been smug and an ego type of guy.
Didn't he have some type of comment last year where it was during that whole Contreras saga where he just threw him under the bus?
He was one of the guys that, yeah, publicly came out and said something about Contreras calling a game, and then it stirred up all the reports by Ken Rosenthal. We're not sure Contreras will ever catch again for the Cardinals. And, oh, it was ridiculous because Flaherty was off to a terrible start and he was deflecting blame. Then he gets traded to Baltimore, and he's like, oh, it's great to play in front of a crowd again, that type of thing. And now he's playing in Detroit where they regularly draw 35 people.
That's generous.
Yeah.
35 is – there's sometimes you turn that on five are there.
But that'd only be 3 more than what the A's get. I mean, that place is –
The A's haven't even been that bad this year.
I know.
I don't know how.
Kimbrel blew 2 saves over the weekend against the A's were beating up on the Orioles a little bit.
And they split with the Yankees before that.
Yeah, good call. But what I was going to say is that for as hard as it can be to stomach, like the Tyler O'Neill thing, like really, come on, in a year where Walker's struggling so bad and Nupar had been hurt and Edmonds hurt and the outfield for the however many years in a row is just a patchwork, not good enough, and O'Neill's going to go and like lead the American League in home runs. And then Jordan Hicks is going to have an ERA below 2 and on and on and on. Flaherty's the one guy I want to like tattoo when you see him.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like if O'Neill hits a couple bombs, even in the series – if the Cardinals were to play them, fine, whatever. If Jordan Hicks shuts down the Cardinals and strikes out 8, whatever. I want to put 5 or 6 or 7 earned runs on Flaherty because I don't want to see him be successful and kind of have a smirk as he's walking, strolling back to the dugout against our lineup. Hey, Contreras has been great this year, by the way. He's really hitting.
Yeah.
Which, like you had
he always will hit.
Yeah. Like you had always said, that's not anywhere close to the concern with him.
Oh, and yeah, that Cubs-Cardinals series at the end of May, he'll have 3 homers or whatever. You saw last year he got up for that one.
Yep, no doubt.
Especially at Wrigley. That wasn't fun when he hit the game-winning double.
Yeah. I'm ready for
it. I want some Cubs-Cardinals.
I know, man.
Why do they make us wait till May 24th or whatever?
It's way too long.
Hopefully Cubs will be healthy by then.
Let's get some guys healthy. We'll maybe have a Sonny Gray, Justin Steele matchup to watch.
It'd be pretty fun.
No doubt. That's all I got on the baseball side. White Sox got hot. They won 3 in a row. They're now 6-22. Goodness.
Doubled their win total in one weekend. I might have to I call them the worst, maybe one of the worst teams baseball's ever seen. I might have to retract that after they got hot.
They heard you.
Because they don't even have the worst record anymore. The Marlins do.
Are they really?
Marlins are 6-23.
Wow. Yeah. You're right.
Of course.
What a race we got. We got the Marlins at 6-23, the White Sox at 6-22, and the Rockies at 7-21.
Oh, my goodness.
The A's are nowhere even on the map. The A's are in third place in the AL West. They're ahead of the Astros, who are 9-19. That still sounds nuts. And the Angels are 10-18.
I didn't catch any of that Mexico City series this weekend. You see any of it?
I didn't either, no.
I know balls just fly out of that place. It's just like a home run derby there. I didn't catch it, though.
Nope.
Astros, I think they won both games.
Yeah, they won two in a row, and yet they're still only 9-19. They bashed around Austin Gomber, punching bag for a former Cardinal, part of the Arenado trade. But all right, let's catch a quick break. We'll pivot back to basketball here shortly. Portal, any comments about that? I know we got some questions on the text line I want to get back to regarding Illinois basketball and five open scholarship spots as it stands right now. We can tackle that here coming up. Before we catch a break, though, let me do a little bit of work. I'll tell you about Busey, and they have got financial advice for college graduates with graduation coming up here in the coming weeks. Their message to the graduates, your dedication to education has paid off. Your college diploma is in hand as you enter the workforce. Prepare for your financial future with Busey. Exercise smart spending habits. Live within your means. Think about major purchases and don't max out credit cards. Instead, focus on a couple of things that Busey recommends: building an emergency fund, paying down debt, and saving for retirement. You should also create a budget, and you can use many complimentary resources and expert advice from Busey, including their blog, Money Matters, on Busey.com. You can also find financial calculators and financial assessments to help you educate, or I should say you should educate yourself and evaluate your options to your money questions. Experts can help you with outcome-based investing, retirement, estate planning, tax planning, and risk management. Let Busey put you on the path to success with customized solutions for your financial needs. Visit Busey.com or stop by one of their many convenient locations. Busey, member FDIC.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Local, personal, trusted. Hi, this is Atta Durakan with First Federal Savings Bank of Champaign-Urbana, and we've been serving Champaign County since 1908. Our institution is safe, strong, and stable. We operate on a foundation of responsible and sound practices, and you can rest easy knowing we're your bank. Rated 5-star superior by Bauer Financial, Inc., fast, friendly, and local. With local loan decisions and underwriting, if you're not already banking with us, give us a try, and we think you'll love it here. First Federal Savings Bank, 356bank.com, member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS. 435-120.
I'm Justin Eich, co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground.
So, Justin, tell me what you see as typical when it comes to sewer repair. Give me a scenario.
Your sewer's backed up, and somebody comes along and says, you need this repair for X amount of dollars. Here's my price. And you don't think to go looking for another company or a second opinion because you don't feel like you have time.
So is it possible that you might get charged a little more because it's kind of a desperate moment? Do some companies do that?
Oh, absolutely they will. They know you're in a pinch. Typically, if you call us, me or Will can be out there within an hour to look at that problem for you. Whether you call me first or you call me second, make sure you give me a call.
Anything else, Justin?
You can always trust Fred's.
Great to know. Thank you. That's Justin Eich, the co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground. If you want more information about this great 45-year family-owned company, just go to fredscu.com. That's fredscu.com. Illinois women's basketball star Makaira Cook on Living at Pacifica on Green.
The general manager, she's great. Everybody loves Lisa. If you've ever met Lisa, you know she's a great woman who would do anything for any of these kids here. So we all just love her so much.
So when you go wherever you go on the road with the women's basketball team, when you come home, kind of you look forward to coming here?
I do look forward to coming here. I've made friends here, and I just like the environment. I like the staff, and just the building is amazing.
Visit them at PacificaOnGreen.com. So you live in the country or a rural area, but you struggle with internet, right? Well, not anymore. MF Wireless is your premier rural high-speed internet provider. McCumber Farms Wireless is a local internet provider. It started in Camargue. Their focus? Providing you reliable, high-speed internet with friendly and fast customer service. Just go to MF, as in McCumber Farms, mfwireless.com. Check for coverage. mfwireless.com.
So when was the last time you saw a best deal guarantee?
You mean a promise that actually held up?
Right.
That some unknown online entity didn't want you to log in and download a code and then re-verify as you join some club?
Drives you nuts, I know.
And then once you purchase that set of steak knives?
Well, Dick Van Dyke Appliance World is a lot simpler. You find a verified great deal and they beat it. Just show them the deal you saw. A newspaper clipping or the online cart price will do, and then you're good.
At Dick Van Dyke Appliance World, it's one of those instances where you see a best deal guarantee and...
you get the best deal.
This is Dennis Reakin, chairman of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Our exclusive 10-year protection plan comes free with most appliance purchases. Whether it's a GE, Whirlpool, Frigidaire, Bosch, or any of our 30 brands, I guarantee we will beat any competitor's deal. Wow!
Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Let's get to some questions on the U of I Land Link text line regarding Illinois basketball. There's been a handful of those, so I want to tackle those before we get out of here. Let's see. 217, honest question. With NIL, do scholarships really matter anymore? I mean, I would say yes, because there's some players out there who aren't getting enough NIL to cover a scholarship for sure. I think that also anytime you add on another benefit, then the way I'm trying to put it is that if you took away a scholarship and now you have to pay to play at a certain university, then yeah, you're cutting directly into what they're actually making. So I think it still does obviously matter. It's all on top now. The NIL is on top. And I think what's going to be interesting for me to see is if we dive into a area of the pool where now a cut of the TV revenue is part of the deal. And as we've kind of talked about, it's too hard to go too deep into those waters without knowing, like, can you get away with giving different percentages to different players, to different sports? Or do you have to, if that becomes reality, say, all right, anybody that's on NBC, Fox, or CBS, that includes Peacock or whatnot, are we giving the same amount of that cut to the women's basketball program as the men's program, as other, say, Olympic sports? How's that going to work? I don't know. That's a good question. Is Title IX going to hold strong in a lot of these senses? Of course, we know that on the NIL side, it's all market value. It's all wherever they want to throw their money based on where they see fit. And in terms of the revenue generating sports, they're getting the most NIL, especially in terms of collectives and boosters and those type of thing, booster involvement. Sure, you can have, and there are a lot of athletes out there who maybe in our Olympic sports or whatnot that have a big following on social media, that get deals via, you know, advertising, marketing, those type of things. And we definitely see a lot of those as well. So I guess the answer, Kyle, is yes, because it's been an assumption as part of the agreement for years. And I think obviously we're trending towards more and more and more for the athlete versus pulling back any of that. And I don't think the scholarship will ever go away. Obviously, it's just maybe not. It's so assumed now that I don't think it's very well. It's not thought of in terms of a reason to play at a certain institution. I know that that bothers some people. They say, oh, well, the scholarship portion is so much money for a regular student and whatnot. It's just, it is what it is. Like, you have to give it to them. And we're going forward towards more compensation. We're not going backward.
Right. That's kind of like the one equalizer still, is that among all these athletes is that they're all on scholarship. And then obviously the NIL portion is going to vary from athlete to athlete. But yeah, I just that it's still, especially like you look at football, and I know in basketball there's only 13 guys on a roster, and I'm sure all those guys, even whether you're the star all Big Ten player or the 13th guy, are making some type of NIL. But you look on a football roster, which has 85 scholarships, and like the 70th through 85th scholarships on the team aren't getting the NIL opportunities, right? I mean, it's just so it's there's still value in that, and there's some other sports too. So, I think I understand the fact that, yeah, if these guys are for throwing $1.2 million valuations around at some of these guys, like, yeah, they can afford to pay for school money.
Yeah.
But it's still the percentage among college athletes of guys that are actually making that level of money is still very small comparatively. So the scholarship is still like the one equalizer among all D1 athletes that they're, or, you know, at least football and basketball, that you're that's like the standard. That's the baseline of like recruiting and playing there.
No. And I think I'm glad you brought it up, and maybe the 217 is getting to this, like those that are making the high end versions of NIL, maybe do they need to take a scholarship up? Like, can they?
That's fair.
Can they pay their own way via what they're getting? I think that's fair to bring up, and I think it never fails that. And I'm not blaming people for suggesting this, but when it does get time to, you know, numbers crunching time, and you're trying to determine how you're going to fill out the final spots in a roster. Now, Illinois last year went into the season, as far as the basketball side of this, went into the season with an open scholarship. They didn't fill all of them. This year we're sitting almost in May, and they got 5 open scholarships. We'll see what that number is a month from now as we're almost approaching June. And then obviously a few weeks into June, you got the team reporting for summer workouts, summer classes. But there has – I've seen a lot the question, you know, why wouldn't some player with NIL just not be on scholarships? That way you can give that scholarship to somebody else. Ultimately, you're not going to be able to keep 13 guys happy.
5 guys can play. Like,
yeah, right. We've
all
seen
of a
that.
Sudden, your top 5 guys don't necessarily need a scholarship anymore. You open up 5 scholarships. Well, what the heck are the 17th and 18th scholarship guys doing other than just sitting on the bench?
Yeah, that's all they're doing. And we've seen it even at 13. It's impossible to keep 13 guys happy, especially as it is at Illinois. But it's happening everywhere. That guys are moving on when they don't play. And I even if it was like a financial situation where someone could come in and either have their school paid for on scholarship. Now maybe that's but even then, even if it's a high school kid that is a little bit on board with development and knowing that their time is a few years down the road, there's a lot of times that player gets impatient or just sees the writing on the wall. They're getting recruited over. Like, you could ask recruits to be patient, but then when they see a program not necessarily be as patient with bringing in guys at their position and everything, then it's hard for them to stick it out, or maybe they shouldn't, because there are obviously rolls of the dice. Like a Brandon Lee was never going to be good enough to play at Illinois any kind of significant minutes. That was kind of the reality of it. So when they took him on the front end, we're going to see what they're going to get a few years on the road. It just didn't pan out. It's fine. And he moved on to Illinois State, and obviously that's a better landing spot for him. But not to spend too much time on that. That was just kind of what I was thinking. Wade says, I'm seeing where players are signing NILs with certain teams for X amount of dollars, and most are never receiving what they signed for. There's a lot of talk of that. Now, if it's contract-based, and that's why it's really important, I wish – that we were in kind of a pro agreement, collective bargaining, these type of things where it gets publicized when someone signs a deal that we know for how much and those type of things. I think that that transparency could even help, even beyond just like the public knowledge, and obviously give us more to more context, more to evaluate, like, hey, Indiana, this is how Indiana spent their $4 million, but this is how Illinois spent their 2.5 to 3 versus this is how Penn State spent their 50,000 or whatever. I know it's not 50,000, but you get what I'm saying. It would be interesting to kind of see those things publicly, but also it could provide some accountability for on the athlete side, because there are stories of guys not getting what they were promised. Now, I think in a lot of senses, there are numbers that are set in recruiting or kind of handshake agreements or you know, what's your ceiling, what's your upside in NIL. That stuff gets used in recruiting, and people don't see that those numbers all the time. And sometimes it's a drastic difference. Like, hey, someone was supposed to get 500,000 and they only got 100. Like that stuff happens. Now, if it's in writing, if it's a signed contract, there's got to be some kind of breach for someone to get away with that. Now, the difference, I think that you got to be able to separate, is that as of right now, you're not signing NIL deals with the school. You're signing it with a collective. You're signing it with a third party. You're signing it with a company, whoever it might be. But there's no current agreements that are with the Illinois basketball program, that are with, you know, any Illinois football or whatever, any school, any athletic department. You're not tying that to that program. So, and there's nothing in the contract that can legally be pay for play, that you have to play at this university to get this money. So I think that there are interesting loopholes and exits as far as that goes. And I think sometimes that players would say they didn't get what they were said to make. Maybe they didn't do the appearances that they were supposed to do, or maybe they didn't, whatever it was, they blew off or didn't fully accomplish their side of things. Because I think that there are stories of that as well. But yes, to Wade's point, there are a good amount of rumblings and just stories of guys who are said to have signed for this or promised this, and then they don't get that, and sometimes not even close.
Heck, didn't Trey Townsend have to like come out on Twitter after he committed and shoot down some rumor about that? Somebody tweeted something like Ohio State did not honor the NIL agreement of one of their players, and so Trey Townsend heard that and didn't want to go there, and then he tweeted that, and it's like, why are you lying or something? I mean, that's this type of stuff. And the rumor mill in college basketball probably has all kinds of stories like this.
Yes, and that's another thing. It's so hard to know what all is true. Right. There are so many on Twitter right now.
And you can also like deny it and it still be true, you know, to save face. So it's impossible to really know.
Yeah. But there are stories out there about a lot of places. And that's not to say that it's like the program's fault. It could be one specific case of a booster or a collective not wanting to live up. And there, I've heard even of of people that promise a certain amount of money to a player, and the player plays and they don't like the player. He's not good enough, or they feel like they got ripped off, and then they back out and those type of things. That stuff happens. But then there's a side of it like a Sky Clark where he leaves mid-year, and there was some rumblings of, well, he's not going to hit the portal until March so that he can cash some of these last checks that he's due. And there's two sides of it, where sometimes the athlete has gotten exploited or sold a false dream or a bag of goods that they thought they were getting that they didn't. And then sometimes it works the other way too. And you don't have players holding up their end of it. And maybe then they're, I don't know, putting you, on blast or just unhappy, and it's their fault. So 309, does Illinois have any international players that might come here? I would say yes. Am I comfortable giving you names? Not necessarily. I will say Robert Rosenthal tweeted out yesterday a picture of Brad Underwood at a Serbian airport,
which is interesting.
Insert the Brian Windhorse picture of him saying, wow, what's going on here?
Why would he do that?
I would say I think that from the standpoint of filling the five-man spot or adding another big in addition to Merez, I think that internationally that's an area that Illinois is looking at. They have also been involved with a couple other guys over there. And since Brad's been here, especially after a few years of getting – well, really immediately, because not saying it worked out, because they brought in Matisse Facile and a couple of other guys internationally that didn't really pan out. Of course, a guy like Georgie Bishanishvili, it was different because he was already moved to New Jersey and those type of things.
When's the last Illinois international guy that came straight from overseas that actually contributed? Because you tried to get – Perrine, you tried to get Moretti. Those guys never
boss man
stayed around. What did he come straight from?
Straight from Belgium. Belgium. I think. Yeah.
Okay. And even he was like a
he gave you
back of the rotation type.
Yeah. He didn't give you a whole
is
lot.
Is there any guys in the 21st century that Illinois has gotten internationally? I'm trying to think.
That have done anything of substance? Right. I don't think so.
I guess it's pretty rare across the country for those guys.
Yeah.
Big Z is the only guy I can think of.
Yeah. Tabellis for Arizona. I think Arizona's done it. Gonzaga's done it. There are a couple programs that are kind of known for it. I would say also.
Tommy Lloyd just pumps them out.
Yeah. Michigan, too, under Beilein with Wagner's. Mo Wagner,
they came
Franz
straight
Wagner.
From overseas.
I think they came straight from Germany. If I'm not mistaken. So
good to know. I didn't know that.
But I think that's an interesting, if you're going international, you're probably talking about somebody that's high school age, thereabouts, in a lot of senses. Not saying it's always that way, but usually when they get to the age of college decision making, they can sign a contract with a pro team over there. And once that happens, their eligibility is pretty much shot, or definitely is shot. Some of them preserve it and play on some pro teams that, even though they're an amateur, so that's kind of interesting to kind of sort through. But I think they are dabbling over there, and I don't think that Brad was over there just for vacation by any means. So that's interesting.
He doesn't take his yearly late April vacations to Serbia.
Not that I've heard.
Right as the portal's closing,
I'll have to ask him with the next. Availability, or maybe I don't know about that. But I'll give you more on that when I can, and we'll see. Illinois obviously hoping they don't have a pivot for Benjamin Reckhouse. They hope they just land him. They hope they don't have to pivot from a wing that may or may not go in, but we'll see. I think the five is very interesting. If Ugonna on Yenso is not going to happen, which there's just been a crystal ball, that doesn't necessarily mean he's off the board, but if his NIL is too high, or if Alabama is in position to get him, then we'll see what else pops at the five spot. That's something they're going to have to figure out.
Hey, I'd take another Trey White type commitment where nobody knows anything about him or has heard his name until he posts his announcement on Twitter or whatever. It was Trey White. Who in the world is this? We just got a guy that haven't heard of before. I'd take one of those.
Yeah.
It seems like maybe we're heading that way.
I had heard zero buzz about Trey White up until like the day he committed. Yeah. I knew who he was. Like
Orlando working in silence, perhaps.
He's done it before. And sometimes they like it that way better. The staff does. Speaking of which, I had this thought. I'm shocked I didn't bring it up, but on the day that we're talking AJ Dennis, of course, last offseason, there was Ray J. Dennis.
Oh, we don't need to.
Have there
do
been
this
any
again.
Dennises that have been good for Illinois?
Oh, I thought you were going to say that Humrickhouse was going to Ray J. Dennis.
No.
I'm like, oh, come on.
No, sorry. Not to, I had the thought today driving over, like AJ Dennis, Ray J. Dennis. Have there been any Dennises that have been good for Illinois in either football or basketball?
Do we have
someone
any?
Someone please fill me in. Also, obviously, Toledo. Off the board, banished forever.
Yes.
Let's never think about a Toledo Rocket.
Do we have any more first names that could rhyme like
Ray J, AJ. Doesn't DJ doesn't rhyme.
No,
it's a J.
No, you need to like. I don't know. We're running out.
Say hey. Say hey, kid. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Ray J.
Yeah,
and
let's
AJ
stay away from
it.
Anybody with a J followed by Dennis in their name. It's not going to end well for Illinois. We'll move on.
But I am genuinely curious. Anyone that's got maybe a deeper knowledge of Illinois athletics history, a 508 says Mark Dennis was an offensive lineman in the 80s. Okay, good to know. I want to know any Dennises that are of note, because those have not been. That name seems to be a little cursed for Illinois here of late. 309 asks about Luke being on our show. I do want to get him on.
Yeah, we
one
we
more
need
time.
To.
I'm sure he'd do it, right?
And Lon has to be here because Lon is the biggest Indiana hater on the planet. We need a back and forth there.
And I do think
for Lon to officially disown his son alive on air after transferring to Indiana.
I do think that would be pretty entertaining for sure. 651, I like Nico Moretti's offensive skills. He just isn't stout enough to play in the Big Ten. He can go down a level and absolutely kill it. We were talking off the air, Kyle, what league, because I do agree, and I've kind of heard that. I can't say for certain that I know where he's going.
Yeah, I asked you what league, if you had to predict, what conference will Nico Moretti be playing in next year?
He could follow the pod's footsteps of the WCC.
I like that.
Maybe St. Mary's, that type of school works for
him.
Lost
their point guard to UConn.
Yeah, true. True. The Valley? Why not?
The reverse pipeline? Instead of Illinois adding Valley players, they pump a new Valley player in?
Maybe. I could see him playing in the Valley. I could see him playing. Could you see him in like a Northern Iowa? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Who's the new coach at Indiana State? I don't know. But
did they hire from within, maybe?
Maybe they did. I'm not sure, though, where he's going to end up, but I had heard that don't be surprised if he goes down to like the mid-major level. And I agree with the texter. I think that makes the most sense.
I mean, you saw potential there for him to be a good college basketball player. I just don't know if it's at the high major level based on his size and defensive ability. But, I mean, a mid-major could use that type of ball handler and passer, could make shots. I mean, he made two huge threes against Iowa. I think he'd be pretty good in a league like the Valley.
Mm-hmm. Brian says, is RJ Melendez an option to return? He's back in the portal. I would say no. Somehow, I think, now this was the case for most of the season. I imagine it finished out that way. Somehow he shot a worse percentage from three last year than he did the previous year with the shoulder injury.
He was shooting at one point like 8% from three, like into December. And then I think he played pretty well in conference. But
didn't he have a game against Florida? He put like 30.
Yeah,
up.
He had 35 against Florida in an overtime game.
Oh, he rallied. So, okay. His final year at Illinois, shot 26% from three. He ended the year shooting 30% from three. So he got hot down the stretch. Don't let RJ get hot. He, 35 in an overtime loss to Florida late January.
Here's a question for you along those same lines. Of all the players that have transferred out of Illinois the last 5 years, or really just Brad Underwood's tenure, other than Pods, because I think that would be obvious, the guys in the NBA now. If any of those guys said, I want to be back at Illinois like a year later after transferring, how many do you think Illinois would take back or would have taken back?
Man, that's a great question. That's a great question.
Definitely not Sky Clark. Definitely not Jaden Epps.
I think Brad would say definitely not.
Definitely not RJ.
Correct.
Definitely not Curbelo.
Correct. BBV, I'd say no.
The ACL injury is an added part of it, probably, but probably not Adam Miller, would it be safe to say?
I'd say probably not. I don't think they want to deal with... I mean, usually there are some burn bridges or just... bad feelings at the end of especially with a guy like Adam who started every game as a freshman.
Yeah. Well, at that point, it's like if he transfers, like, all right, that's it.
Yeah.
We're done.
And his mom refused to meet with Brad.
And it's not like he's been very good. Now, again, he tore his ACL right after leaving Illinois, his first year at LSU, so that's probably part of it. Don't want to, you know,
harp on him too much or anything, but he hasn't been good
right.
for in his college career since leaving. So,
and other than Pods, there's nobody you wish you'd have back.
Yeah. I guess I'd say the one guy, and it's before even this whole portal madness happened, would be Alan Griffin.
Yeah.
They would have taken him back.
Good call. Yes. Yes, for sure.
Is that it?
They weren't happy about that one, losing that one, even though there was a little bit of off-the-court stuff that kind of made sense for him to get a fresh start. But, yeah, you know what's funny? And I had this thought when Orlando's coming back. You know the last time – the last time Curbelo was good for Illinois, or good in college basketball really consistently, he had Io as a teammate leader and Orlando as Antigua as an assistant. If Antigua came to Brad Underwood and said, hey, you know, especially now that Nico Moretti's in the portal, what if we bring in Andre just on a you know, in like the professional league, they have a zero tolerance or like a last chance, like
yeah.
any type of misstep, anything that you do, we can cut this agreement at the drop of a hat and just bring him back and say, okay, any mess up, any step out of line, you're gone, but let's see if we can fix you, or let's see if we can fix this, bring you back home, get you back with Antigua, the guy who recruited you, obviously a lot of Latin American just kind of similarities and obviously connection there. Would you say yes to that? I'll put that out to the text line, 217-359-2255. If one of your 13 scholarships, and take it for what it is right now, there are five currently open for Illinois. If Andre Curbelo said, I'm not asking for anything, I don't need an NIL, I don't need...
He's understanding that he would play behind Boswell.
Yeah, I don't need any guaranteed, like, I'm going to be a starter or whatever. He says, I want a chance to be a reclamation. I want to be able to just come in and try to refine myself with Orlando in the spot that I started. Would you take Andre Curbelo back? I had that question. I have the answer of what the actual answer would be in my mind.
Yep.
But I'm just curious. Any thoughts out there? 217-359-2255. We'll answer that and finish up the show next. This is The Drive.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Hey, baseball fans, get ready to swing for the fences with the St. Louis Cardinals live on ESPN 93.5. Catch every pitch, every hit, and every heart-stopping moment as the Cardinals light up the diamond. Don't miss a single inning of the action. Tune in to ESPN 93.5 and experience the thrill of America's favorite pastime with the St. Louis Cardinals. It's going to be a heck of a season. Brought to you by Pia's, Max Twin City Recycling, and by Route 66 Solar. Grab your peanuts and Cracker Jacks and get ready to cheer on the Cardinals. Let's play ball.
Discover Champaign Center Partnership. Have a whole lot of fun with the poor during the wine walk. Don't let your glass runneth over. Volunteer now to get involved by visiting champagnecenter.com. The fourth annual Downtown Wine Walk from 2 to 6 on Saturday, May 4th is brought to you by Royce and Brinkmeyer Apartments. And Champaign Center Partnership has all the details about rides for you with Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit. Visit champagnecenter.com.
Your spring cleaning can make a big difference, and not just in your own home. As you declutter this spring, please consider donating to the Habitat Restore, located at 1914 Glen Park Drive in Champaign. The Restore is happy to take your gently used furniture, tools, home decor, appliances, and more to help fund Habitat's mission to build affordable homes with local families in need of safe and decent housing. Drop off your items during business hours, or for qualifying donations, schedule a free pickup by calling 217 217- 359-0507, the ReStore is happy to take your gently used furniture to help fund Habitat's mission to build affordable homes with local families in need of safe and decent housing. Drop your items off during business hours or for qualifying donations. Schedule a free pickup by calling 217-359-0507 or complete the form on our website at cuhabitat.org.
Finishing off on the drive here with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. I love how polarizing this topic is. It's crazy.
50-50 split on the text line.
It really is. My buddy texted me and in line with some people. He goes, no, no.
I'll speak for my dad, too.
Yep.
Who he hasn't texted me, but I know if he did, he would. He would say, hell no.
There's a, yep, we'll count that as a hell no. We'll count two all caps no, no from a 217. But then we have 100% yes from Andrew. We've got, I think, a 217 that says bring him back. Yep. Now, okay, Mike on the U of I Land Link text line said, why would Curbelo come back with no NIL?
It's just a scenario.
I was given just, yeah.
Hypothetical.
A hypothetical here. As to say there'd be limited risk and give up on Illinois' side. And if you want to play the hypothetical out, we could say, well, because he's trying to fix his career. It's been off the rails ever since he left, ever since his second year here when he had the concussion. And obviously then he leaves and St. John's is a mess. And even last year, I didn't remember this until Kyle brought it up. Obviously he missed the first half of the season because he was – not eligible due to the multi-transfer. Then he was ruled eligible. Then he missed a month in the middle of the year. I don't know why that was. And he ended up averaging 13.5 points, 4 assists, 4 turnovers, 45% from the field, 25% from three. He's never become a decent to reliable to average three-point shooter.
I do really like Randy's text, though. Andre is a Harlem Globetrotter, not a college basketball player.
Yeah, that's fair.
That about sums it up.
That's fair.
My personal answer, no.
Yeah.
No. I think he's beyond the point of salvation. And when you already have a team that's going to have, what, 13 new guys out of – or 11 new guys out of 13 scholarships, you don't need anything like that in the locker room, even if there's a no-tolerance thing put on it. I think – my prediction would be even with all the stipulation of like we can just end this at any time, it ends like the second day of practice. So no doubt. It's not even worth it.
You don't think he'd be a good influence on Kylan Boswell?
No. No thanks. Yeah, no. I don't think he'd be a good influence on anybody.
How about the talent though?
Man, I mean, you put him on the floor and well, he still would turn it over four times a game.
Fair.
No thanks.
I like the idea of it. The execution of it obviously is not gonna would never happen. Not gonna happen. It's fun to think about the upside of who he was, but I think it's fair. Someone asked, Andrew says, what's Andre's ceiling now? I think he's too damaged to touch. I don't know. That's a good question. His assist rate last year, if you're looking at the analytics, was as high as it's been since his freshman year. But his turnover rate was pretty high still. And like I said, he doesn't shoot the three. So I don't know. I think it's just kind of a fun what if. And with Orlando coming back, it was one thing that crossed my mind. If he could be a backup point guard and be just, one strike and you're done type of thing. It'd be fun, but it would never happen.
Can't put him on the floor in a close game either because then you get a Marquette situation where it's the Curbelo show and he's going to take his same fadeaway 12-foot jumper 17 straight times no matter what happens.
Never forget that.
Nope.
But I'll never forget the Big Ten tournament.
True.
Overtime in Indiana. Yeah, this is
second
moments.
Half of his freshman year was awesome.
Tremendous.
And he was a big part of Illinois achieving success, so you don't want to crap on him too much, you know?
Yeah.
Still a part of the program that was valuable at one point.
For sure. All right, we got to get out of here. If you're just tuning in, we're off tomorrow because the Cardinals baseball rained out tonight. They will have a doubleheader tomorrow. First pitch is at 2:40 and then a night game. Cardinals against Flaherty in the second game of that one. So we'll be back on Wednesday. We'll talk to you then. No one to thank, especially not Lante. And we'll talk to you then. Everybody have a great night. Enjoy tonight and tomorrow. We're out. Goodbye.